Like before you turn to the book of Luke, chapter 13. Book of Luke, chapter 13. I'd like for us to start in verse number 1 and going to read down to verse number 9. It says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, thank you this evening. We have the privilege to gather together in this place. Lord, I pray that you might give strength of heart, strength of soul, strength of body, and Lord, for the Spirit of God to anoint and to work and to bless and to teach us that which is valuable. Lord, everyone in this room has a different need. Everyone here tonight, only you can meet that for them. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just open their hearts to you and whatever it is you want to speak to them about. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. When we start chapter number 13, it's probably what I would call a pause in his discourse or his sermon from the previous chapter. In that chapter, we come to the last 3 or 4 verses, and we find that he is speaking of judgment. Notice verse 56, it says, ye hypocrites, chapter 12, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hate thee to hail to the judge, and the judge deliver to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. So as he speaks judgment, we find that there are certain ones who are present, it says at this season, I believe speaking at this particular time, and they want him to comment on a current event. Now, in this last year, I am sure that you have no doubt, if folks know you're a Christian, have had people ask you about the current events. And no doubt you've had people say, do you believe that this is fulfillment of prophecy? And what prophecy? And many, many different things. And then many times folks, they're just curious, what is your opinion about certain current events? So what's interesting here is they come to Jesus and they tell him about something that took place. Now, this is an interesting story we find, for we know one thing. We know that it's speaking here about Pilate. Pilate hated the Jews. And we find also that there had been an agreement made, though he hated him, there had been an agreement made about keeping the standard bearers in Caesarea and not allowing them to bring their standards or their that which was symbolic of their armies, because they were riddled with heathen symbols. It was offensive to the Jews, and so he agreed that they would not do that. However, on a very recent occasion, he brought them into the temple, we find from history. And as they came into the temple, there were many hundreds of people there who were making sacrifice, and they killed them. And so if you notice here, it says, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And so their blood ran with the sacrifice that they had slain. We also notice another thing here, and that is that there was a tower. In verse number 14, it says, are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell. Now, you remember the pool of Siloam, and this is in Jerusalem. And there was, after this particular episode in the temple, a riot that ensued. And as a result of that riot, we find that the water tower got knocked over and 18 people were killed as a result of that. And so here these come, evidently considering themselves better than these who were killed in the temple and a little later by the water tower collapse. And what we find here that is very needful to understand is that Jesus said that everybody needs to repent. And he says in verse number 3, it says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so he took the occasion to teach them something very important, and that is their need of repentance. You and I, we need to come to that spot somewhere in our life to where we understand that we have sinned against a holy God, and we want to turn from that. That's what repentance is, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I also find that there are times after we're saved whereby sin has crept in, and we need to repent and ask for God's forgiveness. We find that it tells us something interesting here in verse number 3. He says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise what? Perish. Ye shall all likewise perish. Now, that's an interesting word that in essence means they're going to vanish from the very presence of Almighty God. To perish means to fully destroy and to be taken away from God. And of course, we know that that's what takes place with the wicked, those who will not accept Christ as their Savior. So it is in this context that we come to the next few verses where Jesus speaks a parable. I don't know about you, but I like stories. Amen? And I like things that you could read a story and gain some things from it and understand things that perhaps you wouldn't otherwise. Now, when I was a high school kid, I understood math, understood science, but literature and I did not get along. And the reason was, I didn't understand that when you were reading something, listen, if Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water, that's what it meant. It was not some abstract thing whereby that we would have some moral, ethical thing in the background that we'd pull from it. And I remember sitting in some classes, and one particular one that was mostly female, and I think every one of them understood it except for me. I don't know how I passed the course. I think it was the girl sitting next to me was really smart. But it's we understand, though, that here's a parable now, and this parable, I believe, is a story of the grace of God, but it's also a story of judgment. So I want us to look at two things here tonight. And as we look at this particular parable, I want us to see, in the light of these happenings previous to this, and Jesus bringing this parable, I want us to see the expectations of the man. Of course, we notice, first of all, when we get to this parable, it says a certain man. He had a fig tree, and it was planted in his vineyard, which no doubt meant that there were more than one. Now, the fig tree is an interesting tree. Its fruit is marvelous. Matter of fact, it's rich in antioxidants. It's a good source of fiber, and it contains some amounts of calcium and iron and potassium and copper and certain B vitamins. And so it's something that is very, very helpful to man. And the fig tree reproduced itself, however, in a very unusual way. And I believe as we look at this, it's incredible how God does things. God produced a fig tree that was male, and he produced a fig tree that was female. Now, many plants, they are both. But so you had a male fig tree and a female fig tree. See, how could you tell them apart? The figs from the male tree was inedible. You didn't want to eat them. And though it was inedible, there was a wasp that was born within that fruit. Within the leaf, it was curled up. And as that wasp would mature, it served to pollinate the female figs. Isn't it interesting how God took all of these things and put them together and caused them to be so interdependent upon each other? And so here's a wasp. Most of you would run from a wasp. Most of you run and grab the spray. And yet this wasp was considered very, very helpful. Now, though that was true, through cultivation over a period of time, we find that they did not need the pollination from the wasp. And so this parable probably refers to a cultivated tree, one in which time and effort were invested. I believe that's helpful in understanding this. Now, the fruit can be found on a tree, a fig tree, for about 10 months out of the year. Now, its best producing time is around August, but sometimes you can find it year-round. And it's a fruit that is produced native to Southwest Asia and Eastern Mediterranean. It can be eaten either fresh or dried. I like Fig Newtons, and I don't know why. I don't know if I've ever had a real fig or not. This fruit would first appear at the base of a new leaf. And so as the springtime developed on and the leaf was about to come forth, there would be like a little bud under that leaf, and that was the fruit. We find the tree that Jesus cursed had leaves but no fruit. It says in Matthew 21:19, when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. So we look at and see there in that particular instance is a tree that looked good, but it bore no fruit. Men expect fruit, just as our Lord does. If you next spring go out and plant some tomatoes, you expect to reap some tomatoes come about July and August, and be able to slice those up and put them on a hamburger and put a little onion on top of that. And does that melt anybody's mouth? Half of you don't like onions. It's good for your soul. I'll tell you what else onions are good for. Isolation. If you ever want to make sure that you are maintaining the 6-foot rule, eat garlic and onions, and you'll maintain that without any problem. But I want us to notice now, as we think about this, as men expect fruit, just as our Lord does. Let's think about the exercise of the tree. Most often when speaking of men bearing fruit, it seems to refer to other Christians becoming children of God through our witness. Those of you who are in this room who are parents, you bore a child, you didn't bear a dog, you didn't bear a cat, you bore one that looked like you, acted like you, and all of those marvelous things. And some of you say, well, your child gets in trouble, and you say, well, you're acting just like your dad. Well, probably you're acting just like both of them. But nonetheless, what do we find? We find that men get saved as a result of others taking the gospel to them. Amen? That's our responsibility. It's our privilege, actually, to talk to other people about the Lord. I want to tell you this. When we will pray and seek God and open our hearts to it, it's amazing the doors that God will open to us. Matter of fact, many times people will open that door for us. And we just need to step through it. However, and I want to take this look as well, the fruit being looked for, I believe also, is the fruit of the Spirit. I always like to remind people that it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, so it's referring to all of them in one lump. In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then he says, against such there is no law. This is something that the Spirit of God places into each and every one of his children. And I believe that our Lord, listen, now think about it for a moment. If you're a child of God, the Spirit of God is living within you, does it not seem reasonable that his fruit is there too? But here's the problem, I believe, with that, and that is that you and I sometimes don't allow that fruit to develop. And our Lord, as he waits for that development of our fruit, I believe does some things that are magnificent. One of those things, as the dresser of the vineyard, he is one who intercedes for us. Matter of fact, you see that here in verse number 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he, the dresser, answering, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year. Is that not intercession? Is that not one speaking to another and asking for favor? And he says, leave it for another year. Let's see what will take place. And so he intervenes for it, and he seeks also to fertilize us. And when I think of the Lord fertilizing us, I believe that he fertilizes us with his goodness, with his grace, with all of his being. And the more that we know about him, the more we know him, and the more we become like him. The owner had expected fruit for 3 years, but he's entreated to go for another year. And so I ask the question tonight, how long has he been looking for fruit in your life? How long has he been looking for fruit in our lives? Has it been 3 years? God has done something marvelous. Is it showing? Or are we about to experience our last year of grace for disallowing the fruit of the Spirit to be seen? Sometimes we cover it up. Sometimes we don't allow it to develop. It's there, but we squelch it. And we do it through our own self-interest, as we seek things for self rather than for God. And so as we look at this parable and consider you and I tonight, I believe, are a fig tree that God has planted, and He expects fruit out of our lives. And if it doesn't come after a period of time, God may just well take us out of the way and take us back home. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to be able to enter here tonight and to see this tremendous parable. Lord, I pray that it would have impact in our heart, and we not tuck away as another sermon, but to allow the truth of your word to infiltrate our hearts. We pray that you might bless in the remainder portions. Partake together of a letter from a missionary, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen.